Was it Zacchaeus or was it you or me or maybe even our nation, our culture, our class, our tribe? Perhaps it doesn't matter. It didn't just happen once. There's a place for all of us in this story. But we'll start with Zacchaeus, not the Sunday school Zacchaeus, the real Zacchaeus. We can be Zacchaeus for a while. If you've been rich and you've been poor, you'll know that on most accounts being rich is preferable. But it can come at a price. And sometimes it feels like the price is about to catch up with you. Working in the tax office doesn't sound like such a bad gig. Stable job, well paid, someone's got to do it. When the Roman occupation forces moved in, of course they wanted to tax the population, but it's expensive and awkward to set up the infrastructure to start collecting taxes from an unhappy, begrudging population. There must be an easier way. There was. They just estimated the tax that could be produced from a town and then advertised for a local to take on the task of collecting it. They didn't care how you did it, as long as you delivered. Make a profit in the process, and that was your pay. So you put up your hand and you got the job. Jericho was a bit big to do it all yourself. You put on staff. They worked the streets door to door. They stood over people until they paid up. They took their cut. You took yours. The Romans got theirs. Rome was happy. Your neighbours were not. You knew that if it wasn't you, it'd be someone else. Paying taxes to Rome was not optional. Someone had to collect them. But your neighbours refused to see it that way. They saw you as a turncoat, a traitor, a profiteer who did the Romans' dirty work for them and feathered your own nest by colluding with the oppression of your own people. You heard them whispering whenever you walked down the street. Miserable little prick, blood traitor. Who paid for his latest renovation then? Us, of course. He's going to have an accident one of these days, and there won't be any tears around here either. It sure doesn't feel fair. You're not a bad person. You're just doing a job that someone's got to do. You've got to make a living. You're not making any more than the collectors in other towns. People are acting like it's all your fault. Being a scapegoat is no fun, is it? It's not as if you invited the Romans in. Whatever. You have to be pretty careful nowadays. Even if you were a lot bigger, it wouldn't help much. On their own, they just look down their nose at you. It's when there's a gang of them egging one another on that you're really at risk. You've got to keep your wits about you and stay clear of danger. Some days everyone seems to look away and mutter to one another, and the air is thick with menace. It's hard to know whether it's paranoia or just good sense. It feels like the past is threatening to catch up with you. Maybe everybody feels like that sometimes. Everybody's got a few secrets, a few regrets, something they hope won't catch up with them. Something that leaves them looking over their shoulder. Sometimes whole cultures, whole countries feel a bit like that. The climate starts changing. The bushfires get more intense and more uncontrollable. More and more refugees start knocking at the door, asking who paid for your prosperity, wanting their share back. It wasn't our fault, was it? We just grew up enjoying things the way they had always been, or had they? Is there a past we didn't even really know about? A past that's now murmuring in the streets and conspiring to make us pay once and for all? Is paying attention and carefully managing everything still going to be enough to keep us one step ahead? Or are we running out of room to run? Are the old strategies that kept us clear of trouble reaching their use-by day? Have we played the same cards one too many times? One day there's a buzz running through the town. Not a menacing buzz, an excited buzz. He is coming to our town. Jesus. Serious celebrity value. Everybody wants to see him. You've heard the stories. Hard to know what to believe and what not. Amazing healings. Even more amazing teachings. The religious leaders getting their knickers totally in a knot. It seems that wherever he goes, people's lives get changed. People stop being so afraid. They seem to be able to stand taller, feel stronger, believe in themselves again, walk free, breathe free. No wonder everybody wants to see for themselves. Anything could happen. He's on his way. The crowds are gathering. The main street is throbbing with eager people, standing room only. The anticipation is infectious. You find yourself fighting the urge to join in. You're irresistibly drawn like everyone else, but you're not everyone else. It's not just that it's hard to see in a crowd at your height. Irresistibly drawn could mean sucked in. Crowds are not safe. Crowds easily become mobs. Accidents happen all too easily in crowds, especially to short people, the people who are easily lost underfoot, the people others might want to lose underfoot. It was an accident, Your Honour. The crowd stampeded. Nobody saw him fall. He must have been trampled to death in the rush. No one was responsible. No one was to blame. It was just a terrible accident. An excitable crowd is the last place you can afford to be. And yet, why should you miss out? That's not fair. You don't deserve to miss out. What if all that they say is true? What if this is your chance for a new life, for new freedom, for an end to watching your back all the time? The pull is irresistible. But the years of careful planning, of calculating the risks and staying one step ahead won't allow anything too reckless. How to avoid the crush? For that matter, how to see over the crowd. But avoiding the crush is the real priority. Get ahead of the crowd. If he goes up this street, he's got to come out there. The crowd hasn't swelled that far yet. Get ahead of them. Find a vantage point, a safe place, hidden from hostile eyes. That tree looks good, easily climbed, even for someone as small as you. It's got a good thick covering of leaves, good cover. You'll have a grandstand view and no one will ever know you were there. Perfect. Up you go, get comfortable and wait. Here they come. Bugger me, that is one hell of a crowd, isn't it? Just as well you didn't risk the crush. They're all shouting and jostling, all trying to get as close to the bloke in the middle as they can. He looks a bit bemused by the whole thing, like he knows it's ridiculous and there's nothing he can do about it. Here they come. It's kind of strange looking down on all these people. You're not used to seeing them from that angle. You're used to being looked down on by them, partly because you're vertically challenged and partly because they've always got their noses in the air every time they look at you. It's weird to be looking down on them for once, and they don't even know. Or do they? Uh-oh. Jesus has stopped right beneath you and he's looking up through the leaves, looking for something. Looking for you, looking right at you. Ah, there you are. I've been looking for you. Come on down, right away. I'm staying at your place tonight, aren't I? What's for dinner? Come on down. Let's go. What? You're just about falling out of your tree, literally. The one everyone was wanting to see is wanting to see you, to stay at your house. How did he even know who you were? Who cares? He's wanting to see you, to be a guest in your house, to have dinner with you. This way, sir, if you please. There's that muttering again. There's that sudden shift in the mood of the crowd, the one you fear more than anything. Murmuring, hissing, seething, outrage. You'd heard stories of Jesus upsetting people by who he chose to eat with, but it was always the seriously religious people. The religious heavies got their noses out of joint, while the ordinary people in the street cheered him on. The ordinary people liked to see him eating with those who the religious hotshots looked down on. But today, it's different. Today, it's someone the ordinary people like to look down on. Today, it's you. Someone they liked to look down on, someone Jesus stopped to look up at. Someone they liked to despise, someone Jesus invited himself home with. Someone they would have trampled underfoot, given half a chance. Someone Jesus is sheltering under his wing. Everything's wrong side up, and the people aren't happy. Not one bit. He's going to get himself thrown off a cliff if he's not careful, or crucified or something. He needs to be a lot more careful around crowds. You need to tell them what they want to hear. You need to reinforce their values, their identity, their prejudices. Cheer for their heroes, hiss at their enemies and their scapegoats, and you'll do well. But you've got to be careful around crowds. They can turn easily. They're not safe. They're not safe if they think that you've turned against them. You're no longer on their side. They're downright dangerous if you scandalise them and turn them into a mob. Don't poke the bear. But right now, you've got to walk through this crowd, this mob. Jesus has called you down from your safe perch, and you've got to lead him through the crowd that he just turned into a mob. You pull yourself up to your full height, which has never been very high, but right now feels like about 4'2". You take a deep breath, steel your jaw, and step out. This way, sir, if you please. The murderous muttering doesn't stop, but somehow a way opens. You try to keep your step purposeful. You try to look sure of yourself. A few minutes ago, everyone wanted to be where you are now. Any of them would have given anything to be able to welcome Jesus into their homes, to their tables. But being envied by a crowd isn't all it's cracked up to be. You've been envied before. You know only too well how hostile envy can be. Murderously hostile. But the way keeps opening. You're almost clear of them. At the next corner, you'll be able to see your front door. You hope the set of your jaw looks assured and not just rigid with fear. Somehow your self-invited guest seems quite calm and assured beside you. You almost feel as though he's got his arm around your shoulders, like he's saying, "This one's with me." And then you're there, through your front door, into your house. "Thanks for coming," he laughs. That's what it feels like you're a guest in your own home. Like everything is continuing to be wrong side up. Guest and host, host or guest, who can tell? Whosoever will may come. And suddenly, all composure is gone. It's all too much. Overwhelming. You are completely undone. And it all comes pouring out. fearing that your past would catch up with you, you've been blindsided by an unimaginable future. It's like a new world has opened up, like you're falling headfirst into it, right out of your tree, like nothing will ever be the same again. Like the fears are falling away, like the regrets are dissolving, like reckless love is pouring in, like scandalous generosity is exploding to life. Like this guest, or is he the host, is handing you the life that you've always longed for on a plate. Like a beautiful destiny placed into your hands with a piece of bread. Like an intoxicating dream sipped from an offered cup. Not because you're worthy, nor because any mob gives permission, but simply because Jesus is here, calling your name, welcoming you into your own home, or is it his home now? Nothing seems like too much. Nothing seems impossible. Blindsided by scandalous grace, seeking out the lost, rescuing the fearful right out of a tree. Salvation has come to this house. Whoever's house it really is, can't really tell anymore. Handing it all over, giving it all away freely. Nothing seems like too much. Blindsided by scandalous grace. Here at this table, are we guest or host? What does it matter? Salvation is here at this table. Whosoever will may come. Everything is given to you. And in the swirling confusion of love and mercy, all you know is that you want to give yourself in return. Everything you are. And that's all that matters. Here and now.